How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Darren, Donick, and Chase with you. I want to tell you about something that's going on in our city this Sunday. If you're a 4th through 8th grader and you would love some instructional youth football, a camp to go to, a skills camp, well, we've got your camp for you. It's at Friendship Christian School this Sunday from 1 until 3 p.m. Former Vanderbilt quarterback Kurt Page, a local high school coach here throughout the years, is going to be right in the front and center with all this, and he now joins us. Kurt, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic, guys. I appreciate y'all letting us on. We're looking forward to a great Sunday afternoon of getting out of the COVID-19 strangleholds and getting back and introducing some instructional football to some youth football campers, 4th through 8th grade. We're so excited about it. Thanks for being on the air with you guys.
Well, for any parent out there listening who just perked up when I said 4th through 8th grader, because you're like, oh, wait a minute, I've got one of those that is playing football and would love to go to a camp on Sunday. What can they expect in that two-hour window?
Well, we're going to introduce the fundamentals of football in certain positions. Every offensive position will be covered in every defensive position. So we've got a all-star lineup. We've got Tim Bryant and working with the linebackers along with Dennis Stallings, a former Tennessee Oiler. They're going to be working with the linebackers. We've got secondary coaches, Cromwell Stewart, longtime Nashville coach, and going to do a great job there. And linemen going to be coached by Gary Clark and some other high school coaches. Gary Clark played at Vanderbilt. The FRA, give a shout out for Franklin Road Academy with Chase McCabe there. And he's excited about working with those guys. And then offensively, I've got Corey Harris, NFL Super Bowl champion, Vanderbilt. He's played defensive back for the Ravens and an Indianapolis high school All-American there for high school and played at Vanderbilt and is a Super Bowl champion. He's going to be moving around from running backs to defensive backs as well. And then a good friend of mine, Jeff Rutledge, a quarterback, won the 1978 National Championship for Alabama and then a couple of championships in the NFL with the New York Football Giants, is going to help us with quarterbacks and help me there. And Corey Burton, a longtime assistant coach here in Nashville, is going to be helping with the backs. And Wayman Buggs, my old number 8 at Vanderbilt. He's my wide receivers instructor and coach and really teaching the guys. You know, he played with the NFL and the USFL and is working here in town doing great, great things for a lot of people. So he'll be working with those guys. And then we've got some other coaches that are with that age group that are really going to be working. So we're going to work on a lot of fundamental stance, alignment, working on the fundamentals of catching and throwing and just really targeting that age group and really building toward guys. We want to do a fantastic opportunity to build toward we're going to call it Throw Deep Spring Passing League for that age group. And going to have it set up in the spring, February, March, and April, and really try to work on that age group, throwing and catching the ball. As I moved around from Texas to Georgia to Alabama, and back into Tennessee high school coaching and also in Florida, I'm noticing the SEC footprint that the younger guys are throwing the ball and some other areas are getting ahead of us, like in Atlanta, Georgia. I lived there for 2 years. They're producing a couple pretty good quarterbacks, one's at Ohio State and one's at Clemson. So my goal is to start nurturing the guys here, younger ages, and help them passing and throwing and building a better brand of football for us in high school and also college.
It's a great idea. You've got a heck of a staff here, Kurt. And let me tell you a story here.
Yes.
Coach Rutledge, all these kids are going to come out here. They're going to get tremendous. We have the utmost confidence, though, in Coach Rutledge because Darren was having a lot of trouble a few years ago throwing a spiral. He had the velocity, but he was throwing some ducks out there.
I could get it in there, but it didn't look pretty.
It did not look pretty at all. It was bad. So Coach Rutledge, though, worked with Darren. Darren, what, about 5 minutes?
We were at NBA. We were doing a show at NBA, and within a commercial break, maybe a little bit past that, he had me zipping spirals. Look, if he can do that for me, I have the utmost confidence he can do it for any 4th through 8th grader. Promise
you. I know it. I love him. He's great. His son-in-law is actually my doctor, so I like to shout out to him, Lico Barfield. He's taken care of Coach Page for years now and got me into great shape. So it's just sticking with good family people. And I tell you, one thing with Willie, though, you're that left-hander, right? You're like
Willie's the lefty. So. Yeah, Willie could throw the spiral.
But my one championship if all around was with Todd Campbell. I had to turn my brain around. He was a left-hander in 97, so we won the state. So I could do it. I could coach left-handers, too. So.
All right.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're really blessed. I just called out some of these friends and said, this is what I want to do. It's my vision. We formed a little company, Soar Athletic Training Company. It's with Craig Ladd. We grew up together and know each other for years and years and years. And I've got other friends that I've coached with, Joe Code at Father Ryan, and families over there. Rick Riley, he's bringing his son Wes. I'm getting to work out with him. He's a rising 5th grader. And then we've got 8th graders. So we already have some people, but we really want to grow and get our we're going to have a 10 and under passing league, a 12 and under, and 15 and under. And that's the age group that we're really going to target the next few months and really try to build a really good brand. So thank y'all for letting us be on the air. And we've got families from Franklin Road Academy, Chase McCabe. We're getting one of the administrators there, Lisa Zinner, her son's coming, and David Tucker is, we're just kind of trying to get out there slowly, but this will give us a really good reach here with this opportunity to broadcast this here right now. Thank you guys so much.
Now, the ultimate test, Kurt, would be if Jeff Rutledge could if he could get Chase McCabe to throw a spiral,
yeah.
Or any coach, you've got you, anybody, I'm going to throw you in there. If any of you could get Chase to throw a spiral, we'd have to make this a weekly segment and say, hey, let's just call it tip of the day.
If you'll come out Sunday, I will get Chase to get the spiral. We'll get it on film. I've got Bobby Blevins, the video company. He's coming out, and so is Mike Straysinger. So we're calling out all the big dogs.
Big dogs.
Wow. That is big time.
And we'll get you out there. And then and I love to come on as much as I can and would like just talk football and talk good stuff because y'all have a great, great show. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for saying that. That two-hour window is just not enough time, Kurt, for Chase. That is not going to happen in that two-hour window.
I do personal training, too. I do personal training, so we could take another hour. So no
Coach
problem.
Page has seen my spiral. He knows it needs work.
I know. But, Chase, you were always up the booth with Craig Ladd doing everything. We were on the web before they knew the web. So internet, you're broadcasting those Friday night games and getting that publicity out for all those Franklin Road Academy players. Did a great, great job, and just so proud of tracking your career, man. So proud of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, in all seriousness, you know, I've got a 3rd grader. We're in travel baseball, and this is the off season, and so this is when you do your off season training. You look for camps. In fact, we're going to go to a camp this Saturday morning. And one thing I wanted to bring up, if you're listening to this and you're definitely intrigued, by the way, you should be very interested. That is a heck of a staff Kurt Page and this group has put together. But what really jumps out at me is I get it, times are tough in 2020. But, man, to have those type of players and coaches available that have all the experience in the sport – to help teach young people skills for $20. Let me tell you, you are not going to find anything better than that. $20 is as good as it gets to get that kind of instruction on Sunday. At least that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, we appreciate it. It's going to be an outstanding day. We're going to have additional camps coming forward, so we're really looking forward to getting this thing growing. And we already have 50 pre-sign-ups, so that's great. And we're looking to add to that number by Sunday. And by getting this reach right here with 102.5 The Game, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be inquiring. But they can go on, we're on Twitter, Soar Athletic Training. And you can sign up through Eventbrite, and just look forward to servicing these young people and building a really good brand. And holistically, we're mind, body, and soul, so we're looking to pour in these kids. And that's the thing that all these coaches, they know it's not about wins and losses. They know it's not about who's going to play at the next level. It's about getting the best out of each young person each and every day, and making them better young people and better brothers and better dads in the future, civic leaders, community changers, you know, all the things that we want these young guys to inspire to be. And that's why we're putting them all around these guys, because this has been the MO and the direction, the vision of these guys, of all these people's lives. And Chase has been impacted by it, being around guys like Coach Clark and Coach Tucker and Coach Weicker and all the guys he was influenced by. And now he's doing that, and y'all as well, you know, and y'all's athletic endeavors, Willie at Vanderbilt, you know, getting coached and taught by just great mentors. And that's who we look up to. And these guys are a lot of these guys did it for me, and I got to do it for them. A few of them that I got to coach, and then a few of them I got to coach with and against. And we just want to build strong camaraderie ties and powers with all the other young people. So that's what we're looking for. It's a holistic approach, and we're just very, very happy to be a part of this.
I love that vision, Kurt, because as you said, you know, we get caught up even on our show sometimes, and
sure.
we always have to check ourselves, and it's not always about who wins the championship and who makes it and gets the scholarship. There's just so much value in playing and learning life's lessons from playing football. And I'm sure as a high school football coach, that the best coaches, that's part of the message. You're turning out good people, and not just, you know, you don't just do it by keeping track of how many games you win and how many people you send on for scholarships.
Absolutely. That's it. That's at the end of the day, you know, that's what you're meaningful, and your guys that you, it's no different than a great teacher in the classroom. You know, those are the people that you aspire to grow and be more like. And that's what you want to be. You want to influence those people in a top capacity and really help them grow themselves. And, that's why you're in the, you know, being a lifelong learner, you know. That's why I went back to school, made a pact with my wife when she was sick. And Chase, remember, she was sick at FRA and you know, lost her 9 years ago to cancer, but just made a pact with her that I would go back and get my doctoral degree. And we've done that. We finished that at Trevecca, great place. Dr. Patterson and those folks are just tremendous and did great research over there. And then now, you know, inspired me to get back into coaching, and then now run this training program with Craig Ladd to really pour into these people, because these are going to be our future leaders, Willie and Darren and Chase. These are the guys that they're, you know, the guys we're going to impress and make an impression on Sunday. They're going to be the future high school players of our Middle Tennessee State area, and then they're going to be the future guys that are going to college, you know, either academically, athletically, you know, whatever capacity, and they're going to be the leaders of insurance and leaders of, you know, commerce and just everything that's going on in our society. So that's the need that we see. And Corey Harris had a great conversation with him earlier this morning, and he is so on point, and just look forward to sharing his vision soon, too. We have some great guys, and Jeff Rutledge moving back in town has been a godsend for us and our program, so we're just looking forward to it, and just hope y'all can continue to, you know, put out the message, and just look forward to working with you guys more and more on these type of things.
Oh, we'll keep getting the word out, Kurt. I want to ask you. Kurt was a heck of a, for people that don't know, was a heck of an SEC quarterback at Vanderbilt back in the day. And one of the things, Kurt, that I remember about that era, that was still a time where you had a lot of teams running the wishbone and option play, and you guys were kind of
yes,
on the cutting edge of throwing it all over the place. And I'm curious what you, when you're watching college football today and you think about those offenses that Watson Brown was drawing up, what goes through your mind? It's an interesting, because you guys were different than what we see as the norm now, but what you guys were doing back there is what we see every Saturday.
Exactly right. Willie, that your point on, you're exactly right. The things we had to do, you know, we didn't have the Bo Jackson, you know. We didn't have the Herschel Walker. I saw those guys. I played against Herschel Walker. And every time I would sit down, I'd hear that little band start up. That meant he's running another 80-yard touchdown. He has a 300. You know, when we played Herschel Walker, you know, on that Friday, he came in. Usually when the governor or the head football coach from Georgia, which is Vince Dooley, they come in, they have the they have the state troopers around him. Herschel Walker had the state trooper around him. So that's when we knew he was legit and going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. But you're right. The league was all about running. It was turning the ball and handing off and running the wishbone at Alabama with all the runners and Georgia with all their runners and Florida with all their runners. And then Coach Brown really changed that. You know, he went to a short passing attack, RPOs before they were RPOs, run pass options. You know, now everyone's doing this, you know. And we did that with Keith Edwards and Chuck Scott, Alamo Matthews, Phil Roach, you know, named Whit Taylor. I got to watch him 2 years as his backup. So we were doing that then. And now I only wish I had Willie, Darren, and Chase. I wish I could have taken one shotgun snap as a player. I would have loved that.
Wow.
Things
you never hear a quarterback say today.
Oh, I wish. Some guys don't know how to take it under the
I know.
Now,
so. Yeah. That's right.
But I wish I could have done that just one time. If I could go live life.
Why didn't he let you do it? Why didn't Coach Brown let you do that?
We never did. You know, the only team that really did that back then would have been, believe it or not, was Tom Landry with Danny White, you know, and Roger Staubach. They put the shotgun in. And there were a few teams, even Minnesota with Fran Tarkenton. They did. You know, no one. It was just like I don't know. Just stubborn. You know, hey, you know, maybe the center can't do it. I don't know. But now, I mean, I've got third graders. I'm working with a 10 and under team that's going to travel to Gatlinburg in a couple of weekends and play. And I mean, we have a 9 year old. He can shotgun snap it. So that's my only wish. But it is fun now to watch the guys play. Like I said, I've lived in Texas, in Georgia, and Alabama, and Tennessee now, and. You know, in all those areas, you know, they have, they have people that can do the snapping. The quarterbacks know how to do the steps, and that's what we teach. And so, it's just fun to play now. I mean, it's fun to play offense. You know, now it's also fun to play defense because you get, you know, really it's basketball on grass. You know, that's what I like to call it.
Isn't that funny? As you say this, Kurt, one thing that comes to mind. We've talked about Jeff Rutledge. Jeff Rutledge was an NFL quarterback for a long, long time,
right.
But at Alabama.
Yes,
how many passes do you think he threw? You probably threw more in 2 weeks than he did the whole season in the wishbone, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was under center. And, you know, I had gotten recruited to Alabama, and their defensive coordinator, Ken Donahue, had begged me. He said, Kurt, I promise you we're going to get out of the wishbone. And my dad was like, not so fast, son. You know, they had Kenny Staber, who was one of – that's why I wore 12 at Vanderbilt, you know. I love that guy. So that was a guy I really watched. And all the guys, as you mentioned, you know, from Alabama have gone on and played NFL at that position. So, you know, they got the best players back then with Coach Bryant, you know, Joe Namath and just different guys from all over that era. But, you know, nowadays, you know, and just of late, you know, you've seen Nick Saban transfer his, you know, run first, you know, options to spreading it around and getting great receivers. Now what is Alabama? They're wide receiver U, looks like, you know, so. You know, you got to cater to what's relevant now, and that's where your best players are now. And the running back position has kind of been downgraded a little bit, you know, because a lot of those guys that grow up in the younger grades are put at linebacker and put at outside linebacker. I mean, that's what we're going to focus on with some of this talent identification program we're going to put together with Corey Harris and Jeff Rutledge, is encourage guys to play positions that are going to, you know, make their process a little bit easier on the field quicker, you know. So where a lot of guys might just put their hand on the ground, be a defensive lineman, you know, we're really going to encourage those guys to stand up and be more of a linebacker type and learn to run earlier. We catch them at this 9 and 10, 11, 12-year-old age. They'll start adapting their, you know, style of play to that. So, you know, it's been exciting. We've been to Gordonsville and Watertown and some of the neighboring areas and seen their championships through SOAR athletic training, and really encourage those coaches to facilitate moving guys around on that football field and really enhancing their ability. Because kids watch the college football. We're in the SEC. Everybody watched Tennessee. Everybody watched Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, you know, all the teams, and that's who they strive to work toward and grow as young players. And We believe at SOAR Athletic Training we can help them. You know, not all of them going to make it, but we want to have that desire and that vision, and, you know, and one day they'll reach their goal and be the best they can be, and that's what we want them to do.
All right, here's the stat, Kurt. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you can tell this to Coach Rutledge. All right, you had 493 passing attempts your junior year, 83.
Yes, sir.
350 more in 84. All right. Here's Rutledge. Rutledge, his entire career in 4 years, threw 372.
Wow.
So you threw twice as many passes in 2 years as a starter than he threw his entire career. They didn't have to throw it much, did they?
No.
They ran it pretty well.
Yeah. They had some great running backs. Plus, you know, that was their bread and butter, you know. They had recruited 5 and 6 running backs probably in every class, you know. So, but Jeff Rutledge is, you know, he's made the adjustment all the way through as a player, you know, as a coach and, you know, coaching at the NFL level all the way down to high school level. So it'll be fun having him out there. I know he's looking forward to it. He just relocated back and he's actually house hunting right now, looking around and, finding him a place. So just look forward to partnering up with that guy. And, like I said, you know, I know he's good people because his doctor's been taking care of me for a while, Dr. Barfield. So I love that.
Well, if he finds a house, jump on it quick because they don't last very long in this market.
They do not.
I know it. It's just quite a market now here in Nashville. This is the It City, so we're proud to be from the It City and be part of it. And, you know, I know it's exciting times. But, hey, we really do thank you guys and look forward to hopefully talking more about SEC you know, as I moved around and coached, and got a lot of networking going on, and got a lot of quarterbacks that I've trained that are about ready to hopefully take over in some spots and for different SEC and also in our footprint, guys that are that I'm working with, some high school guys that are looking forward to taking that next step too. But really want to invest in that 4th through 8th grade and build a brand in there and get those guys built up and get a stronger for the future.
Sunday, Kurt, November 15th. Yep. That's this Sunday, 1 to 3. Looking forward to it, Coach.
Appreciate it, Chase. Just look forward to it. And like I said, people can sign up on eventbrite.com. They can go on there and SOAR Athletic Training. They can sign up there. Or they can sign up at 12:30 p.m. We'll have registration start opening up. And we'll find if kids have never played. I've had probably half a dozen of those kids email me and text me. If you've never played a position, never played organized football, this is a great way to start, a great way to be in a camp. You know, you can explore an offense or defense position or both or move around. We'll make it flexible to where, you know, if you find something that you like and just get introduced to the fundamentals. And like I said, we're going to have follow-up camps in the future through December, January, and then in February we'll start a passing league for 10 and under, 12 and under, and 15 under. We're looking to have 4 teams in each one of those slots and then play throughout the spring, and then I've had some great friends in the Georgia area that we'll probably go and compete with in the summer. Similar to what Willie's talking about with travel baseball, we'll go and play a weekend there and probably go down and play in Disney, you know, once COVID lightens up, hopefully. But I guess COVID ain't going away, so we just need to learn how to combat it and deal with it and do the right things through, you know, taking care of ourselves. But we're going to build a good brand and try to get the young people started on the right direction, and we're just looking forward to that. And we got all types. We got public school guys, private school guys. We've got guys that played in the NFL, guys that played in SEC, guys that played in OVC. So we're hitting all the boxes, and just look forward to training the guys and, you know, and really giving them a vision of playing love for sport. You know, you want to love your teammate. You want to love your friends beside you. Encourage each other and just make it a much better experience for everyone, because ultimately that's what you're going to be every day the rest of your life. You know, you're going to be working with people. And that's the beauty that we see. You know, we don't see black or white. We don't see, you know, that's the beauty of being in a huddle. I've been in huddles with, you know, all different types of faiths, all different type of religious beliefs, different colors, different sizes, tall, big, short, wide, you know, and they're all just great spiritual beings on a, you know, on a human walk, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we'll preach to our guys all afternoon Sunday, encourage each other and facilitate, you know, just being part of something bigger than themselves, and that's what we look forward to doing.
We will continue getting the word out. Best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
I know you're going to have a huge turnout, but we'll keep getting the word out, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thank you guys very much. 102.5, the game is the best on the market, and look forward to just exploring and just growing with you guys as y'all have grown and done a great, great job. Thank y'all for everything, Willie and Darren and Chase. Y'all keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Kurt.
Coach.
You too. That is Dr. Kurt Page. He was a longtime head coach, high school football in the scene, as you just heard. was all over the place in Alabama and Georgia and Texas and coaching everywhere. And he is obviously back here, SOAR Athletic Training. And it's a great opportunity on Sunday for a two-hour window, fourth through eighth graders, to get some great training and great instructions from a lot of people who have been there, done it, and they've got a lot to offer. We will come back. More on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow, it's the Titans and the Colts. Tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football in our city, Nissan Stadium. If you're looking for a place to hang, we've got the place. Corner Pub downtown. Now remember, they've got locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, and the location downtown, which I've been to many times. Plus, they've got great beer specials, including $1 off Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Got our pregame show there. We'll get cranked up at 5 p.m., so 5 to 7 p.m., getting you ready for kickoff, a divisional matchup in the AFC South between the Titans and the Colts. Of course, our pregame show features Jared Stillman, the GM Floyd Reese, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, and it's powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Gut feeling today is what? We've talked a lot about this matchup. It's a short week. It's a short week for both teams, but just the uncertainty. By the way, I was reading stuff on T.Y. Hilton during the break, and They seem a lot more encouraged about him playing than maybe Dan Dockich was in the first hour of the show.
Yeah, I think Dan, when he was talking to us, was his perspective was that there was a lot of signs pointing to him playing. T.Y. Hilton has been saying, I'm playing this week. I just think he was trying to say he was maybe a little skeptical of that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there for sure. Oh boy! Just saw another.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just as Maryland? We all paused,
I was
together,
making sure you guys saw that.
I saw the first tweet I saw was from the Maryland Terrapins. Maryland, Ohio State, cancel.
Oh boy!
Yep.
Remember, that's the different word. SEC, it's postponed. Big Ten with 14 teams, canceled.
They have no room for rescheduling.
So there's another one. Bites. Like I said, are we going to have pick six on Friday? Because we're not going to have the Titans game. Titans are out of the way. There's no Tennessee game. By the way, I've seen stuff that, like, the Vanderbilt-Kentucky game is not out of the woods yet. Like, it's not.
Well, it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying that, yes, it is. But I've seen stuff where Mark Stoops is like, yeah, it's still on, but, you know, we're still monitoring stuff here. And
everything with pick six will be around the Masters.
I was just saying,
well, all we can say is when every coach we've talked to, right? We've had Derek Mason on every week, and he stresses every week it is an everyday thing. He said you wake up every morning. Same thing with Will Healy. We talked to him last Thursday, the day before his team couldn't make the trip to Middle Tennessee to play. He said,
by the way, we talked to him.
It's a constant thing.
What, Thursday?
Yeah, right? The day before they were supposed to leave.
Yeah, we talked to him on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and by the next day that game was canceled.
So there's already been eight this week.
Yep,
and we're sitting here on Wednesday, and as you just said, it can be Friday before it happens. But the challenge that these coaches had, you cannot put it into perspective enough how much time and energy is spent just trying to keep your guys on the field.
I don't understand. And I, you know, it's hard to, for us, that age group was a long time ago. So it's hard to kind of put ourselves, or at least two of us, in the mindset of 18 through 22 year olds. But when you see the scene at Notre Dame on Saturday night that we've talked about, and you see some of the other scenes that we've seen, is it a surprise? I mean, how, if you don't get it by now, I mean, I guess you're just not going to get it. So this is what it is. I mean, the challenges, I think, are almost impossible, because I just kind of feel like there's just a lot of younger people that just feel like
Look, so what? If it happens, it happens. Like, you know, it's not gonna affect me, or they feel invincible, or they don't believe it, or whatever their mindset is, I'll be fine. It just doesn't seem like the younger generation, there's any fear whatsoever. So how do you make that sink in if there's no, you know what I mean? If there's no fear, how do you get that message through? I think it's almost an impossible task for a lot of these coaches.
Because you would think that it would be, well, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you can't play the game.
You would think that fear, right, would resonate and say, well, your season's on the line, guys.
Sure.
So either you figure it out or you don't, because it could cost you. It's already costing you games, but it could cost you a season.
Now, if these conferences, and it's too late now, but if they had come out and they had said, well, if your team does not participate in X amount of games, then you're not eligible for, you know, any type of postseason. So a bowl or, you know, the conference championship game, something like that. Now, that might do it, but they've missed the boat there.
We asked the question at the beginning when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided they were going to play, even though they were starting way later. The first question we were asking, in particular when it comes to Ohio State, who has now had a game canceled, is, you know, how do you evaluate a team that might end up having a record of something like 5-0 or 6-0 compared to a team that maybe has played 10 games and is 8-2? It's a really different thing than it has been before. Because Maryland at least was playing well enough to be like, okay, Maryland is not going to be the greatest win in the world, but at least it's a competent team from a Power 5 league. So Ohio State, and of course you want to stay sharp, right? The more you play, you hope your team gets better and improves and all that stuff. So that's I know on Alabama's mind too. That was said a lot. Hey, you're heavily favored against LSU. You probably weren't going to lose the game, but to stay sharp and play, get the reps, it's good to get out there.
I mean, think about the Raiders, the NFL team. They got millions of dollars at stake, right? Billions. But I mean, for like the coaches and the players, I mean, look what the Raiders just got popped with. And did it sound like there was real concern around their facility about following protocol and following the rules? Worried about their season, worried about their games? Didn't really seem like it. With the reports that came out,
it didn't
seem like there was
Twitter.
Any fear. Those are pros. Those are adults.
I see John some people Gruden. Calling for Ohio State to play Alabama this weekend.
Oh. Could you imagine?
Well, let's meet halfway. Let's just start driving. We'll meet in Nashville and play.
Well, the answer is no, because Nebraska already tried that. And the conference told them
yep.
No.
That's a no-go.
Nope. Something tells me that I don't know if the coaches would be so gung-ho about that either. Maybe. But that's
maybe we'll
a pipe
see game. That game later.
Well, of you that still own copies of NCAA football, you can fire that up and make that happen.
But well, the TV networks will be like, yes, we'll take some of that.
CBS go, hey, we don't have a game anymore, so we'll take it. We got that. Put it in prime time.
Yeah.
But you made an interesting point earlier, Darren. I think you'd looked at it, but the networks like CBS that lose a game, they can't shuffle and grab another game, I guess, right? With the TV rights? So if you had a game in a slot, you just don't have a game. I guess if it's within your family of channels, right, ESPN, I guess they can juggle and try to pick up games that weren't otherwise televised. But can CBS find a game? Can they put a game in a 2:30 window?
Doesn't sound like it. Well, I think they're obligated to the SEC. That time slot that you're talking about, I think it's obligated.
But wasn't that game, weren't they going to not have a 2:30 and it was going to be prime time?
Yeah. But the Alabama-LSU game was going to be at night, yeah.
Because I know it usually is. Yeah, I don't know. They may just be locked in now.
Well, but now, I mean, you'll put Alabama-LSU on Saturday night on prime time. You're going to put Ole Miss and South Carolina. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, what are the two night games?
Well,
in the SEC.
You make a very good point, but I'll counter with this. I mean, what else are you going to run? Because now you're going to rerun, you know, do reruns of NCIS up against some. I mean, you're kind of screwed either way. I mean, I'd rather have a football game.
Well, at least, how do you know that doesn't draw more? I mean, I'm just saying, are you going to play South Carolina Ole Miss?
I'd vote Vandy, Kentucky.
Well, Vandy, Kentucky is at 11 o'clock in the morning.
We'll move it.
So you're going to put Vanderbilt, Kentucky on Saturday night, primetime CBS. And you think that's going to get you better ratings than
NCIS?
Yeah. you're doing this is radio. I can't see. You're saying that with a straight face.
No. You can hear the laughter.
If you are a CBS
Sawyer's
executive
even laughing.
And you brought that into a boardroom, you'd be looking for your next job.
Yeah, well, I know. But like I said, they're screwed either way. I mean, they lose the game and they just –
Well,
you know,
I'm asking you, though, then what's the alternative? What are you going to do? Those are your options.
I mean, I guess if they give you the option to run one of those at 2:30, then you do that. But I don't believe that's an option. I think they're just going to miss out and not have a game.
And I don't think you could say, well, Florida, Arkansas maybe is attractive. Okay, but that's ESPN. If ESPN says no, which I'm sure they will, like that's our game, then you don't really have a choice.
But, okay, so, and obviously this is a different circumstance, but I know CBS usually get first dibs. I mean, I guess they can't poach. They can't say, hey, sorry.
That's what I was kind of getting at.
I don't think so.
Apparently not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Look, if the games keep dropping like this, there's not going to be much to show.
No, because you've gone from a full slate to
maybe you just show last year's Alabama LSU game.
That would probably get more ratings than Kentucky Vanderbilt.
It might.
And I say that kind of half joking, kind of.
Or the 2011, the 2011 game with all those pros that LSU won, but Alabama ended up winning the national championship.
Let's not go back to that. You know, we already did that. Back when there was no sports, let's not go back to that.
Yeah, we've watched a few of these games.
Yeah, let's not revisit old games again.
You're voting for Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I'll tell you. Let's go.
Well, CBS apparently has made it official. They're not replacing it. They're just it was going to be a 5 o'clock game. They have the Masters now, and they'll just stick with that.
5 o'clock, really?
Yep.
That's what Wow. Okay, I thought it was a little bit later than that.
But if you think about it. Of all the weekends for this to happen for CBS, this was the best-case scenario because they do have the Masters. Now, it's the first time they've had to go up against college football in the NFL, so we'll see what that looks like. But at least they have that, you know, to run during the day, which they were already going to do. And they don't have noon games on Sunday for CBS, so.
All right, we'll come back and put a bow on Wednesday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase. Next on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The end of everything that stands. No safety or surprise.
The key to tomorrow night's Titans victory is what? Willie, I'll start with you. And don't say score more points than your opponent.
Well, it takes mine. Darn it.
Let's go a little bit deeper than that. Let's take a little bit deeper dive.
It's not wrong, though.
For what it's worth, Indianapolis
Colts.
Actually,
that is guaranteed to be true.
Indianapolis Colts place linebacker Matthew Adams on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Oh, boy. Now what do you think? Does that change your mind about this game?
Does that change the line?
I don't know. You hit me with this. I'll give you the snap answer that pops into my hand.
Okay.
Run the ball against the Colts. If you can run it, yeah, I think everything else falls into place.
Third in the league.
That's a tough
against the run.
Football Outsiders second. It just depends on which metric you look at, but they are a tough defense to run on. if the Titans can do that well enough, I think they'll be able to run their offense and get what they need offensively. This is not an offense for the Colts that should light up the scoreboard, although, you know, with the Titans defense, who knows? So I think it all starts with the Titans running game.
So you think if they can establish the run, that is going to be a key to victory?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be you got to run for 100 yards or something like that.
That's where I was going. Does Derrick Henry go for 100?
I think he's going to have to really work hard to get 100. This might be a game. We talked about his carries, the workload, right? If he gets the ball 20 times a game, if he runs the ball 20 times a game between now and the end of the season, he's going to have a pretty high level of carries. So somewhere in here, you want to try to manage that, but this might be a game you have to you got to give it to him 25 times. If he's going to get 100, he might have to run it that many times.
Okay. Chase, the key to Titans victory tomorrow night is what?
The key in my mind is going to be, you know, getting to Rivers and rattling him.
Okay, I want to see if that's mine. That is mine. I wanted to see if anybody would go there. I'm with you. I think they've got to. We've established Philip Rivers can't move, right? He's got a big arm. He's a veteran. He knows all the tricks. He's been there, but he's a statue. Yep. I mean, he can't run backwards. We saw that on Sunday. They've got to find a way. And gosh, if it wasn't for this past Sunday where they had three sacks, it would almost sound absurd to say that out loud, right? Like, yeah, great. You know, you could say that every week, but good luck with that. But maybe after Sunday, maybe that's a building block, but can they get to Philip Rivers?
I think it's not necessarily going to be in the sack total. It's going to be can they get enough pressure to force him into some quick, bad throws.
And that's something Clowney's done. He hasn't gotten to the quarterback. He hasn't gotten the sacks, but he has gotten the hurries and the pressures, which I know, you know, most people don't care about. But in this case, if he's available, and it appears that he's going to be, that's big.
Because we said it earlier in the week, the Colts have only allowed 8 sacks in the games, right? But he has 7 interceptions. He's much more likely to get rid of it and try to make a play then hold on to it and get sacked. He's gonna feel, but the question is can you rush him enough into where he has to rush the throw? There's a big difference, right? That was Joe Burrow had been under heat all year. He had a total vacation from that 2 weeks ago. And he was like, "Wait, this is great, man. What is life like? I actually get some protection. I can make some plays now." And he did. I still think if you give Philip Rivers all day to throw, he could still hurt you, even though they don't have great weapons down the field. But I think it's not the number of sacks they're going to get. It's can they pressure? Can they force him into some tough decisions? Because he will make some bad decisions. He'll take some chances. What's the saying they always throw out there?
He will take chances.
No risk it, no biscuit. Is that the?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well. He will risk it. He is not afraid to risk it. We know that.
So do they have to have an interception in this game?
Well, as I say, if you can get to what we're talking about, then maybe you start that applies, and then maybe you start getting to him, you start pressuring him, and that's going to force him into doing what he's prone to do, and that's throw picks.
Yeah, I mean that. I don't think it really matters if it's sacks or interceptions or what have you. You just have to rattle Philip Rivers, however you go about doing that.
But if he's got the time that Joe Burrow had, they're screwed.
Yeah,
they're toast.
Because that's good, Philip Rivers. Turn him into old man Rivers.
Philip Rivers will tear you apart. If he's roasting marshmallows back there, forget about it. It's over. They better find a way to do something to him. They can't just let him sit back there and pick up a part. Because he will. And going back to the Desmond Keen thing, how much stock is there? We should ask him about that. I'd like to go back because he's been in there and he's moved around to teams, and I'm sure he's got an instance where he just came from a team and they're getting ready to play his old team. And how much is that overblown? Like how much work is done behind the scenes with somebody coming from another organization or coming with somebody who's played with this player like the quarterback and really knows how they operate because they went against him every day in practice. You know, like how much can he truly help him? Like do they really sit in a room and go over things or is that just all overblown?
Oh, I think there's something to it. I mean, how could there not be? You're going to pick up on – I mean, like the Titans faced him last year when he was with the Chargers, and sure, there's some things you can get from film, but a guy that has been on the practice field with him day in and day out for many years, I mean, you're going to pick up on some tendencies that you can't just see on film. And so I'm sure that in the meeting room he's saying, okay, Philip, you know, when you see this, this is what this means. You know, he can point out some things that you haven't seen. That you can't pick up on just everyday film. So I think there's certainly something to that.
And how much can Desmond Kean really help him? I don't know how he couldn't.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got to know Philip Rivers, right? I mean,
sure.
Through and through. He's got to know all of his tendencies, what he's looking to do. I don't know. Who was it? I can't remember, Willie. Was it the Titans picked up a player or two from the Colts, or the Colts picked up a player or two from the Titans right before the game?
Remember it was the Colts picked up an ex-Titan defensive back.
Who was it?
And then cut him right after the game.
Cut him right after the game. And what was his name? Oh, I can see him right now.
He had a big injury.
Well, yes, that's right.
He wasn't the same player as he had been. Mike, some defensive back. This is going way back to Steve McNair, Peyton Manning era.
But you're right.
They picked him up the week of the game, put him on the practice squad, and then cut him.
And then they cut him right after
the
game.
Yep. Like, thanks for coming.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's not the only team that's ever done that.
Oh, it happens.
Mike Eccles is right. Who gave you that answer, Chase?
That would be Jared.
Nice Listen. Job, Jared.
Mike Eccles.
Mike Eccles.
Wow, I would.
I remember asking.
I don't think that one would have came to me.
When Mike Eccles was on the Titans, I remember this is back when I would go to practice a lot, training camp, like every day. We had our show out there every day. I went to every game. I remember at training camp one year going, boy, does it look like Eccles is getting beat all the time? And a guy says, he goes, he's got a rod in his leg. Because he had a bad injury, and he did. He had a metal rod in his leg. Couldn't move as well.
I wonder if Jared actually remembered that or if Floyd sitting there remembered that and told him. I would actually say that Jared probably remembered that.
Is that right, though? I don't – for some reason, that's not the guy. I thought the guy was a veteran guy, that had been around the league for a long time. Like that – I don't think that's
it definitely happened
who
with
I
Eccles.
Was thinking about.
It happened with Eccles. I remember the game, too.
But I'm thinking of somebody else, and I think he was a guy in the secondary. I don't know. Maybe that's who it was.
I don't know. I can't help you.
All right. It's closing time. Tomorrow will be game day. Be a lot of fun.
Game day?
Fast-moving show. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Closing
time. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.